Okay, I wanted to start by saying that I don't have like traditional slides. I just like have a bunch of files because I wanted to show some applications and interactive things and didn't really had too much time to prepare because yesterday I made a little experiment and I got here via the Deutschland ticket. So I took the regional trains all the way from Berlin to here. So that was some experiment. So I didn't have so much time to do that. And I also, I'm just going to start. So I'm here. I am one half of a motion ensemble. My name is Alexander Lehmann. And the other half of motion ensemble is Lena Schall. Her website is lenaschall.de. So we both joined together around 10 years ago and started making mostly films, like short animated films that explain things, and we mainly use Blender. And she also does on the side, she's an illustrator who started with like children's illustrated books and other media stuff, and now we're both working in Blender and making these films together. My name is Alex, and I do all sorts of things. For example, I do a lot of things with Tixel, doing demo scene stuff, real-time animations. And then I also do these short political films, sometimes also for, that's quite long ago, but I did like satirical films for Extra 3, a German TV channel. But yeah, we also do commissions and all sorts of things. So, this is us. Today I wanted to talk about making games in the Godot engine. And so I found my very old website from 2006. So I wanted to show how I got all into this because in the year, I think around 2001, I started making levels for Unreal Tournament. And this is also kind of how I got into all of this 3D stuff. So I made these levels for this game. And later on, I also worked on the official Unreal Tournament. And this is kind of like really more than 20 years ago, I actually got into gaming, and I, for example, worked for 3 months for this little company, also not far from here, actually, in Coburg. They were still based there. And now it's kind of like the circle is connecting back, because now, last year or around 1 year ago, I kind of felt the urge that I wanted to go back into this gaming thing, like a little bit away from the Blender animations. And then I found the Godot engine, I saw they had a new release, and it's a free open source game engine, which is really cool and easy to install and also kind of easy to learn. And of course, it's mostly a game engine, and you can see on their website, on the showcase, that it mostly is used for indie games, also bigger games, some of them. And some facts about the engine. So Godot, it's actually only one file, which is really cool, I think. And let me get this. So just one file, it's only 140 megabytes. You don't need an account, you just download this one file. And it's free open source. I think it's you can compare it to Blender, also because it has this foundation in the backside. It's all open source. And I don't know if you're familiar with game engines, but I guess like general purpose engines, you could say Unity is also one of those. This is, I think, somewhere around 15 gigabytes. You always need an account. And then the Unreal Engine, of course, even bigger, also always need an account. So I think this, this kind of like made me get back into it, because I thought it was so cool having this engine now available. So, I think I messed with the ordering of those. One second. So yeah, and it's rather easy to get. Just like in Blender, you can find super amazing tutorials on YouTube. There's tons. And then you can also, the Godot documentation is really good. For example, you can choose if you're into scripting or what you want to learn. And then the documentation really shows you what you can do with it. And I used this to learn how to program because I had no experience with programming or scripting before. And there's a really cool website called GDQuest. And they made this in Godot. And it's like a little learning path where you can, you have these lessons, which you can see here. And then it also tracks your progress. So I did this to learn it. And I think it's really smartly done because you learn something. It's very intuitive and very welcoming. And then you have these little quizzes. And when you finish them, there's practice sessions where you can then actually code. And if something doesn't work, you have a really neat, like you can get really, really great help here. So that was really good for me that this exists. This is their website. And then I actually, I found this guy who does lots of tutorials, which are also really intuitive and helped me great. And of course, coming from Unreal Tournament, the first thing I wanted to do was a first-person shooter. But before I'm going to show this, I wanted to show some other things that people made with the Godot engine, because it's not just great for games, but it's also good to make applications. For example, this one here, Pixelorama, is an open source application. I think you can always find the whole code for all of this in on GitHub also. So this is like a whole painting program or pixel program. Then there's, for example, there's a texture extractor. It's a bit harder to find, I think, but you can find it on itch.io. Someone made an app where you can extract textures, like correct the perspective, and it even gives you like the normal map and height map and stuff. So like from Substance Painter or B2M, I think is the program. And then, for example, someone else made a tween guide, which is super helpful because it shows you all the different tweens that Godot supports, and it also shows you the code, and you can copy it and use it in your games or in your apps if you want. So this is super neat. So the engine is not only feasible to make games. I don't know if you know the Material Maker also. It's I think you can compare it to a Substance Designer, and it's a node-based engine or node-based editor to make procedural materials, and it can export then same as it's in Substance Designers, also open source, and these are all made within Godot, and this kind of runs in the engine, which is really cool. And then the last one I wanted to show you is GoZen, which is also pretty new, I think. And this is a whole video editor. So someone made a video editor. I think the person, I think he's called Boylan. He was using KDN Live for his videos, but to edit his videos on YouTube. But he wasn't satisfied with that, so he made his own video editor in Godot. So really cool what all these people do with it. But now I'm going to show my own stuff. So the first thing, as I said, I started with making a first-person shooter. So this is kind of like these are the beginnings of my stuff, just following tutorials and learning along. So of course, the classic, and there's something really weird going on with that cube here. Like every time you try to look at it, this other cube goes in front. I think that was a test to have something interact with the physics. And then I also managed to get enemies into the game. So yeah, this is, but it's just prototyping and working with things to maybe later get my game going. Then I can show you another prototype, something with less blood, and where you, so this is just like trying out ideas, and it's actually really cool because the connection between Blender, which is kind of the tool of my choice, to Godot is really neat. You can just open a blend file in Godot, and then it imports it automatically. And if you change something in Blender and just save the file, those changes are immediately visible in Godot as well. So for example, here you run around on this Raspberry Pi Pico board, and then you have these bugs who drop like little bits or something, and you can collect them. And this is something that I made just for fun and to try stuff out and see if it's fun or if it's an idea that leads me somewhere. So this is kind of what I did on the side just for myself, because I had that urge to learn how to make games and found the engine really cool. And then I don't know if you know, does anyone know Frag den Staat, the German non-governmental? Frag den Staat, for those who don't know, it's a little NGO from Berlin, which is doing really cool things. They're using the German laws for Informationsfreiheit, so information freedom, and then you can use their website to ask the government for documents. And it's a rather small NGO, but they're doing a really amazing job. So one day I met with Arne von Frag den Staat, and I told him that I'm learning how to make games. And then he said, oh, you're learning how to make games, because I always had this idea. I wanted to have a clicker game about Frag den Staat. And if you don't know what a clicker game is, it's this really weird concept where, for example, this is a clicker, it's called Cookie Clicker. And the only thing that you're doing here is you click cookies. And it's kind of weird, but when you click from time to time, you get like resources. And then you, for example, you can buy a grandma. And then you have Millicent here, who's 95 years old, and she does now make cookies for you, so you don't need to click as much anymore. So he wanted to have something like a fun way of showing how tedious the work with Frag den Staat is, like always asking the government for documents, and then sometimes they send you some back, but sometimes they say, no, we don't send them back. And sometimes they sent them back, but they're all blacked out. And he wanted to have like a fun way to show how Frag den Staat works, and how this ping pong, this tennis that you have to play with the German government or any government, it's kind of like getting on your nerves. But mostly in clicker games, or most of the clicker games only have one resource. For example, here it's you click and you have cookies, and then you can buy like farms, and later you can buy factories. So you kind of make yourself, like what you do in the beginning just by clicking, you make that obsolete because you have something that automates that. So that's kind of like, it's a very raw game idea where you just like, just the most stupid interaction is something that becomes really engaging. I think it's fascinating that this works. So he wrote down some ideas that he had, and then I used these ideas to, of course. So yeah, what I wanted to say. So I come from, I really liked this game when I was younger. I still like it. This is called Warcraft, and here you have like the classic, like a gold mine, and then you get lumber, and then you have workers. So you kind of have these three or four resources. You have time also as well. And then you build something, and then sometimes you have to think, okay, how much wood and how much gold does this take? So you have like build orders and try to make smart decisions. So we both thought just having one resource is kind of annoying, or maybe a bit too easy. So Arne came up with all these different resources and he gave me like a sheet what he wanted to have in. And then I thought, okay, yeah, well, let's do this. And first I made a prototype to see if I could actually pull something off like a clicker game, like a really simple prototype in Godot with 2D graphics. And when I thought, okay, I can actually do this, like my scripting abilities are good enough, then I said, okay, let's do this. And then I used his feedback or his input and made this thing. So this is kind of like every time you see a mouse here, it's where you can have manual labor. So you start by clicking and sending questions or information requests to the government, and those they send them back either, so you got your currency here, or they don't send them back, and then you have an Ablehnung. And these are all like your resources. Then against the Ablehnung, or if they blacked out the documents, you can go to a court with those. So like you play this ping pong here just with your mouse. And then later on, of course, you can found Frag den Staat, and then you can hire people, and then it all gets automated like this. And I drew this in draw.io to get like an overview how things work. And the general idea of the game is you do this manually, then later you can hire people. And then with those people, you can make for example, you have you can do research or you can do campaigns, and with those you get followers. And then the longer you play, the more it gets automated. And then, yeah, I thought, okay, I can totally do this, no problem. It's it looks complicated, but it's totally doable. So yeah, that's when I started making the game. I'm gonna show you right now. So open the. So now, yeah. And of course, since both Lena and me, we really love using Blenders, we decided to not make it 2D, but to make it actually 3D. And so we came up with this super simple system, and it's pretty much the same as it's as it is in the graph that you saw. And actually, because we thought, okay, this might be a bit too complicated, we added a little tutorial before that. So here in the tutorial, you can actually you kind of learn that you have to do like the clicking that you do at home when you make a request over Frag den Staat. You click on your keyboard, then you've got to print those out. This is still the analog age, and once you've printed those out, you send them. You put them in envelopes. And then you stamp those envelopes, and those then go to the government. And here it's really easy, like they never say no, so you just have to do this 25 times, and then you made it through the tutorial, and you hopefully understood, okay, sometimes I have to go back, sometimes I have to wait because there's a queue going on. So this is congratulations, you did the tutorials, and now since you have worked so hard, you can now click here to found Frag den Staat, and that's when it goes here. And now, yeah, we also added a function that you can move around and scroll, and you have some more info here. And then we wanted to have everything in game, so you can even change the graphics quality in here, which is super useful if you want to play it on older computers or on your smartphone. Can turn the music off and play it, make it louder. And so yeah, this is then when the fun starts. So here you can click to make those requests. And as you can see, we always wanted to have everything visual. So you click, and every time you click, a request goes to the government. And it's also like the first levels are really easy to get you motivated. And then you can also manually send those that they didn't want to give you. You can send those back, but you have to wait. And here you can also, the ones that were blacked, you can also send those back. So first you do all this manual labor, and sometimes you ask for donations. So you do that a bunch of times, and then later on you can buy better hardware and also hire people. And because I think this is going to take a little bit too long if I actually play this, I'm going to just give me a bunch of money when I start. I can cheat really easily, and also give me like followers. Like I get one follower per second or 10 per second or something, so that you can actually see. Because I think if you play through the game, it takes around 1 or 2 hours. But it's getting really interesting in the later time. So now I have 200, and I can, for example, buy hardware to make everything faster. So now I get +4 when I click, and you can hire all these people. And those are actually really the people that work for Frag den Staat. So here you can see Arne and all the other folks. And we actually, like, you can hire as many people as they are really in Frag den Staat. And then this is all full. And of course, if just like you could see in the graphic here, like later on, we wanted to be able to, you can buy Mate to make the IT persons happy, and you can buy coffee to make everyone happy. And also later on, you can buy plants so that everyone feels happy in the, like every time you buy those, everyone gets a bit more productive, and coffee makes them work faster. And so, yeah, this is kind of the game, and I can only recommend you that you play it. Right now on the Frag den Staat website, there's still the old version of the game, but I can send, or I wanted to prepare a list with all the links of the stuff that I just posted, and I can also add a link to the, okay, this is on motionensemble.de. I can provide you with this link, and then you can check out the newest version of the game. So yeah, my learnings from this, really just super quick. Okay, using blend files is super awesome for prototyping, and also using GLTF is also great for prototyping. But for the actual, like if you want to do 3D stuff, it's better if you use something else. Also, what I've learned painfully is that in games, everything, or interactive media in general, or especially in games, everything took 4 times as long as we thought it would. Like, it was crazy, like every time. I mean, I'm kind of used to this from, I don't know, level designing and stuff, but it was amazing because we had to manually put everything in. Like, we didn't use any sort of pre-built stuff, like, from someone else, like something that was easy usable. So every time we put in a sound effect, we had to add this everywhere. And the last learning is definitely Godot is super amazing. It was a lot of fun doing this, even though maybe in the beginning we bit off a little bit more than we could chew, or I could chew programming wise, but in the end it worked out fine. And yeah, can only recommend you getting into Godot. It's super, super versatile. And also, the last thing I'm going to show, if you open this, you can see, if you go to export, you can see that this is super neat because you can use, or everything that you do in Godot, you can use it on Android, Linux, macOS, Vision OS, you can export to web and Windows. So basically, if you do an application here or you make a game, you can almost get it to run everywhere. And super, super neat. So yeah, if you have any questions or any feedback, I'm going to be around for the whole day and yeah, shoot along.
That's one question. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we have time for questions. So,
if blend files and GTLF files are not good for production, what is good for production? FBX?
I don't even know. I don't know if FBX is supported. I think OBJs are supported. And the thing is with blend files are great for pre-production or for prototyping because internally it just uses Blender to convert those to a GLTF in the background and imports those. And this was a bit misleading. So GLTF is great, but our problem, for example, was we used one big blend file with everything inside. And if we, for example, had one mesh, or two meshes which both use the same textures and extracted the one as a GLTF and the other as well, the texture that those two objects shared was exported twice. So that was a bit dumb, but that's what I'm saying. What I wanted to say is it's better to use the internal materials and use GLTF smarter than we did. So just like a newbie error, but GLTF is the way to go actually, but then doing it in a clean way. And also, the Blender Foundation made a game, for Godot. It's this, with this little puppy, running through the snow. Maybe I can find it on the showcase real quick. So there's, Dogwalt project, and they did this project to actually get like the bridge between Blender and Godot to work. And they used their own kind of tools. And I think it's going to be in Blender soon. So if you really want to know, okay, what's the best connection, this is the project you want to look for.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the question.
So do we have another question?
Is there a threshold in the game in terms of the number of information requests where the police show up without a warrant and take all your devices and equipment? If you do enough volume with those information requests in the game, do police come without a warrant and take all your equipment and lock you up? Or?
I don't know about this, sorry.
Hey, it's an honor to meet someone who worked on one of the games that are my favorite of all time. So
thank you.
Thank you for that. I have a kind of side question. Are you interested in making an online FPS game in Godot?
Totally. And I think you're Anfa, right? So
yeah,
you're making this online FPS. I saw the project. I was really interested. Yeah, we should talk about it. Definitely.
Cool. I see you later.
Yeah.
Thanks.
go to the workshop. It's
after, yeah, the LibLast workshop. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing a workshop with LibLast Asset Pipeline. So maybe that's going to be interesting for you as well.
Definitely.
Okay, that's it. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our last session before the break.